You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. Did you know that gun shooting is the leading cause of death of children in this country? The leading cause of death is from guns. This week we had another school shooting, this time by a girl student in Wisconsin, who pulled out a gun and opened fire, killing two people and wounding six others. As we grow numb to the media reports of school shootings, as well as those that the media doesn't even cover, school nurse Robin Kogan refuses to be complacent about the persistent gun violence in our country. Robin is the author of the blog Relentless School Nurse, a fabulous commentary on a variety of topics related to child and family health and well-being, including school health. And she's also a national expert on gun violence and a regular contributor to Health Center in the Catskills. And Robin, thank you so much for coming back on to Health Center in the Catskills. I almost am sorry that I'm having to have you back on.
I know.
And
when I got your email, honestly, I so appreciate you bringing attention to this matter, but my God, how many conversations have we had?
Yes. Well, and we can't stop them, can we?
No, not at all, especially in this environment that we're about to head into.
Yes. And you know, I was just talking with Dr. Adam Brown, who writes a column for MedPage Today about the shooting of United Healthcare executive Brian Thompson, and the fact that there's some people who see the alleged murderer as a hero, and his comment that we should never see somebody who has killed as a hero. And yet there is a lot of outrage and so about what's going on with healthcare. And so it brought me to thinking about this pent-up outrage and the fact that people are playing it out in different ways. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that first, but as we have this conversation. But first, what is there anything in particular that stood out to you about this school shooting this week?
You know, I think we need to look at it from both through a microscope and a wide-angle lens simultaneously. It's an and. It's a both. Mm-hmm. Because what was different, so much was the same. The story continues to be the same. It's typically an insider. Very often it's a student with a connection to the school. The person typically has a connection to the school. Most often, especially if it's a student, and most often, more than 70% of the time, these young people are getting their weapons, whatever that weapon of choice is. It happens to be most often a handgun in school shootings, but as we know, we've seen AR-15s and all other forms of mass shooting weapons. But they get them from home because they are loaded and not secured. So those are the things that are typical. Maybe I can say atypical is that this student happened to be a girl. And that does happen, but it's in less than 14% of school shootings have been girls. And so, but again, the overall story repeats itself again and again and again. And the number of school shootings and victims and deaths have increased dramatically over the last 6 years, especially the last 5 years. In fact, 2023 was probably our most violent year in terms of school shootings, and 2024 is number two.
Wow.
I guess you can say we've had a little decrease in 2024, that we still have a few weeks left, but it's only number two to 2023. And just in general, I can tell you that since COVID, the number of guns purchased in this country exceeds the number of people who live in this country by almost 100 million. So there's 400 million guns in circulation in the United States, and there's about 300 million people.
And, you know, I wonder if 2024 numbers are down because when there is some kind of a threat or somebody suspects that there's a problem with a student, that they're more likely to intervene, perhaps, to prevent something from going awry. I know that in where I am, there have been at times reports that the police have been called in or alerted to a student who posted something on Facebook. It makes me
wonder. There's definitely more awareness, but I want to just emphasize that it may have decreased, but not by much.
Yes, yes.
And so there is more awareness about the problem, and that's one way to begin to educate the public. We all have to play a part in keeping students safe. But the most, you know, the lowest hanging fruit is safely securing these weapons so kids don't have access to them. And, you know, this, outside of school shootings, daily, at least, more than 8 kids are killed every day by unsecured weapons, and many, many more are injured. Kids are, you know, you see reports of toddlers getting a hold of guns and cars and shooting their mother. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that kind of story. It's just we are not protecting our kids.
Yeah.
Why is that? This is a strictly American problem,
yeah.
And it is really scary, honestly, to think of all the gains we've made because of the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which, honestly, the Trump administration will probably try very hard to overturn much of the good that has happened. And that keeps me up at night, Diana.
So I want to, let's talk more about that. So let's talk about, so Biden's Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, made gun violence a public health issue.
He called it a public health crisis. It was an advisory.
Yeah.
And in the years of U.S. Surgeon General reports, now this was not a report, this was an advisory, so it's a different level. In all the years, there's never even been an advisory on gun violence prevention. Mm-hmm. Gun violence is a public health issue until Vivek Murthy. But I have to, and I'm so thankful to him. However, you know, physicians, nurses, public health people have been yelling this from the rooftops for years. Mm-hmm. I am thankfully part of a group through Brady United Against Gun Violence called This Is Our Lane. I'm on their National Advisory Council of Healthcare Providers. And that was one of our top goals, was to encourage and, you know, I don't want to say demand, but really basically plead for the Surgeon General to take public action. And he did. And we are very, all of us are so thankful who work in the gun violence prevention movement. But once again, he's about to lose his position, isn't he? He will be replaced. And the people that are being, you know, talked about for these positions are just the most, the opposite of everything we've ever worked hard for.
So,
unbelievable.
So before we get to that, and I really do want to get to that as well. Before we do, what difference did it make that we had a public health, that there was an advisory that gun violence is a public health?
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up. There is a huge difference because it really highlights the need for this comprehensive public health approach. It recommended specific policy changes from a public health perspective. These are based in research and data, and that includes banning automatic rifles, enforcing things like universal background checks, calling for increased federal funding for gun violence prevention research, which we know was completely absent for more than 20 years because of what was called the Dickey Amendment. That was reversed, I believe it was, I want to say, maybe 2021 or 2022, not that long ago. And little by little, funds have been released for gun violence prevention research. But that will be changing very soon. And in addition, you know, part of the bipartisan Safer Communities Act is we actually have within the White House an Office of Gun Violence Prevention. It's only been there for less than 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, for sure, will be closing. How tragic is that?
And maybe a reason why there has been 2024 numbers have not exceeded 2023.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, urban centers have reported a decrease in gun violence. Cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, mm-hmm. St. Louis. And it's because of the incredible work that's happened over the last many years, but especially in the last few years since we've had this additional funding for research, for actionable, evidence-based, you know, interventions all over this country. So to think that we would turn our back on saving people, first of all, especially our children, how do we live with ourselves?
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting that Trump has nominated Dr. Jeanette Nesheiwat. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
Oh, for Surgeon General?
Yes, for Surgeon General, mm-hmm. who at the age of 13 went into her parents' bedroom to look for something. I forget what it was. Knocked something over and a gun fell to the floor and it went off and killed her father in the head. Shot him in the head and he died. She doesn't say a lot about it. She has a book out and she doesn't really talk about it from a real personal standpoint, but it makes me wonder what she will do around the issue of gun violence. Any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, it is a significant trauma in her life that I am sure inform her decisions maybe to even get into medicine, to move forward. But I am really concerned about what is being floated in terms of Trump's policy for how he stands in regard to gun violence prevention. He stands very much united with the NRA.
Yeah.
And I'm just afraid that certain people are so clearly in lockstep with his stances that even if she does get, this does happen, given her background, I just really wonder how that will be reconciled given Trump's stance on gun violence prevention.
My bet, so we know the Surgeon General doesn't have a lot of authority. It really depends upon their authority and power from their expertise and from their relationship, particularly with the president. Mm-hmm. And so the Surgeon General is very easy to be made invisible. And
right.
I think there's going to be a lot of invisibility of the Surgeon General, particularly around issues that are more sensitive like this one.
Well, look how many decades it took to even make a statement about gun violence prevention as a public health emergency, I believe, is what he called it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't a report. It was an advisory, which we know holds different weight than a report.
Yeah.
But kudos to him for taking that stand. And because it was, there was collective will to make this a public health emergency. We know that it is. We've known that it is. So, the irony of all of this, though, is that the large majority of this country believes in these safe practices. They really do. So why aren't we following what people truly want?
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit more about safe practices because... Mm-hmm. This radio program is coming from an area where hunting is a part of the culture up here. And certainly I've said many times that I very much enjoy the venison that my nephew brings to me, although he's mostly a bow hunter. But, this idea of not necessarily we're not talking about banning guns, but talking about things that are from a harm reduction perspective of how do you reduce the harm of guns getting in the wrong hands or being misused. I was in Australia in August, and if you talk to people in other countries like Australia, yes, they have guns for hunting and for some other purposes, but you have to go through more than we go through here to be able to show that you can buy, you are a responsible gun user and are qualified to own a gun. I think there's fewer hoops to jump through than getting a car, an automobile license.
Oh, here. Much fewer. Oh my goodness. And in some states, there's none at all. Hmm. And if Trump has his way, I've seen it written. I've heard him talk about it, that they're floating this idea of a national, concealed carry, that would be on a national basis. That is desperately scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need more guns stuck in cars, yeah, in glove compartments. I respect people's right to own a gun. This is not about taking any guns away. This is about safely storing them away from children, away from people who may be suicidal, which is often the case in school shootings as well.
Yeah.
And what is predominantly this idea of rage? I think we started this conversation with, I think you used the term rage.
Outrage.
Outrage. But in school shootings specifically, escalation of dispute is the number one cause of these shootings. Mm. Escalation of dispute. And you can see that replicating itself in community as well.
Yeah.
These are people, maybe they're students, maybe they're people associated with school, community members, people are carrying a lot of rage. Why do we have such an angry country? And the fact that there's so much anger, so much propensity for violence, and we have this unfettered access to 100 million more guns than people, no wonder, it is not a surprise that the number of deaths have escalated monumentally, especially over the last 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. Now, talk a little bit about what people can do to make sure that if they own a gun, it is safely stored.
So I want to say that in the, especially the hunting culture, 4-H, all of these organizations, safety is a huge part of being a gun owner.
Yeah.
It's where we are allowing this unfettered access where there literally is no need for training. There is, look at the conversation around training teachers to carry loaded weapons in school. That is happening in some states across this country, like Texas, other states as well. And there's very little training that is required. 25 hours of gun handling does not make you an expert in handling a gun in school if you've never been a gun owner. And so it's, let's use common sense safety practices. The Department of Education, because of the Office of Gun Violence Prevention and the Biden administration and the Safer Communities Act, all of these in concert with each other, want schools to teach about safe storage. Miguel Cardona, the Secretary of Education, sent, it wasn't really a directive, it was an ask to all school superintendents across this country and principals, please take on to creating resolutions for your schools. Start asking about gun safety in your buildings. Encourage families to ask when their kids go to other people's homes if there happens to be a weapon that is not safely stored. And safely stored means it is separated from, that the weapon itself is stored separately from the ammunition, mm-hmm, under lock and key. Best in a gun safe with, biometric safety measures. But those things are expensive. Mm. So my question is, and I'm not the only one asking this, why isn't it mandatory to sell guns with these safe storage devices? Mm. Minimally, a gun lock, for goodness sake. I give them out in my health office. Mm. You can get them for free. So we have to have the collective will, though. Do we care about kids? Do we want to protect our children? We should not be collateral damage. But those of us who care for children, teach children, I'm a school nurse, I'm in my 24th year. I have a new granddaughter. I'm terrified to think of what is going to happen in the next 4 years for all of us. Mm.
It's very concerning, and I'm trying to recall. I saw a cartoon, if you will, on Facebook, or a statement about one CEO of a health insurance company leads to all CEOs saying they're no longer going into their offices, and yet when there's a school shooting, the children are expected to go back in.
Immediately. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so we've only got a couple minutes, but I do want you to share your thoughts about the drills and what we know about this idea that we're going to protect our kids by having them prepare in drills the way we used to do fire drills when we were kids.
Right. So, first of all, that is not prevention, right? It really isn't. Because most school shootings actually don't happen inside of classrooms. Most school shootings actually start outside of buildings. We are drilling for something that doesn't happen as often, but we are telling people who are associated with school exactly what we do to try to pretend that we have safety at school. And truthfully, many of these drills are extremely traumatizing. There is, the difference between an active shooter drill that uses, hyper-realistic things like gunshots, sounds of screaming, banging. People, can often get dressed up and have bloody clothes. And the difference between those hyper-realistic active shooter drills and what we do for fire drills is that there's a standard response protocol for things like fire drills, hurricane, tornado drills. But for active shooter drills, there really isn't. And we haven't studied it to even know that it's effective. So we are literally traumatizing generations of kids in something that we don't know even works. Does it really prevent kids from being killed when there's guns available at home and somebody with a beast who's already leaving many, many clues? Because that's another very common thing, that these school shooters who are associated with school often leave clues, like in 90% of the cases. There's very few times that the clues are not left. Are they paid attention to? That's the issue. So the question is, where is the prevention? We're so about reacting. And the other piece is, I also believe very strongly in no notoriety. Please don't give notoriety to these killers. Talk about survivors. Talk about the impact on the community. Let's talk about prevention. It just like in the shooter for that awful situation with the CEO of United Healthcare. Why are they making him into a hero? He's not a hero. He's a killer. So what we are giving such wrong messages to our kids.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah. Well, I hope that we will continue to have these conversations, because they're so important to keep the issue visible, to keep reminding people of even small steps that we can take to reduce gun violence, to keep our kids safe. And Robin Kogan, I'm so grateful for all the work that you do on this. Robin Kogan is a school nurse and a national leader on gun violence in our country and topics such as child and family health. And you can read about more about what she has to say on her blog. And the blog is The Relentless School Nurse. And how do they get to that?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so please go to my website, www.relentlessschoolnurse. I do post it on Twitter. I still go there. And Blue Sky and LinkedIn and Facebook. And I'm just going to ask you, Diana, I would love to have a conversation with you about this misguided attacks on routine vaccinations in our country.
All right, let's do that next time. I'm going to follow up with you.
Time.
Good, good, good. All right, Robin Kogan, thank you so much for joining me today on Health Center.
Thank you. Thank Bye-bye. You. Bye now.
I'm grateful to Robin for all that she does. And that's time's up for us. I'm Diana Mason. You've been listening to Health Center in the Catskills. If you have a gun, please pay attention to how it is stored. Let's be safe in what we're doing. Let's not have gun violence be the number one killer of children in this country. Stay warm.